This morning, I want to look at peace, peace with God. In our society today, it's full of wars, inflation, violence, overdoses, angry people, hatred, frustration. When we pay bills that we can't find or don't think we're going to be able to pay, when we experience injury, that makes us really wonder what's going to take place in the rest of our lives. And you question even at times our salvation. Is God there? Is God still alive? Is God still with us? There are a few things in life that cause, are there many things in life that cause us anxiety and fear? And this morning I asked the question, is it possible to find peace in today's world? And where do you go to find peace? One of the things I know for myself, I love to hunt, I love to be in the bush, and for me I find it incredibly peaceful. I leave all my anxieties, all the world's cares, I forget about all the things that I should have done, haven't done. And I could just relax, and I know I could find just in our country here, it's so beautiful. And today we look around and see the beauty that surrounds us. Bulk of the world doesn't see what we see. And so for me, it's a place where I could go. I've known that I could lean up against a tree and have a snooze even. And it's just a place that I find peace. But it's not always that way. I know a couple years ago, we were out, there was four of us on quads. We stopped at the end of the road to go hunting and looked down the road, and it looked like a black bear, about a quarter of a kilometer down the way. Made mention of it, thought nothing of it, that's fine. And so we started getting ready, getting off our quads, getting things together. Noticed that it was coming towards us. When it got about halfway there, one of the individuals that I was with said, it's not a black bear, it's a grizzly. So we made lots of noise. It stopped for a second, looked at us, and continued on his way, kept coming. My son usually, Nathan usually has pretty good advice and very comforting at times. His comment was, hey, I think he's saying to us that if we're still there when he gets here, we're breakfast. So not really comforting at this point in life. So at about 100 yards away, still coming, we made a fair amount of noise. He's still trooping along. So I thought, I'm going to take a shot beside him. So I just took a shot just down the road beside him. Right away, it wheels up on its hind legs, looks at us. And the trouble with guns and valleys is the echo goes down the valley. So as the echo went down the valley, he turned around and looked the other way. And so now you're wondering, which way is he going to drop and run? And so it turned out he went about 270 degrees and up into the bush. All right, solved that problem. There we go. So we continued getting ready. And it was probably only a minute or so later, all of a sudden he popped out of the bush 20 to 30 yards ahead of us, or above us. And he was standing there chewing grass. And they say that the human brain has the ability to process 11 million bits of information every second. I think I reached my max. As all the thoughts now are going through your mind. He's eating grass, main course is next. I took a look at the four guys with me, or the three guys with me, and I thought, I'm the oldest. Well, I don't look like the best steak. I'm probably okay. He's going to get one of them. And so anyways, we're running all these things through my mind. I know a grizzly could run probably about 15 meters a second. So he's roughly a second away, 2 seconds away from us. And so we're discussing what's going on. Like I say, my brain's just going crazy. I know the grizzly was one of the animals that sort of skipped out of Life 101, where God said man has dominion over all animals. They don't think that way. So anyways, it was not a time that I looked at that this was one of my most peaceful moments while I was hunting. It was I wasn't very calm, not sure what was going to happen in the next few seconds. But what I found is that peace of this world is not the same peace that God gives. The things that we find peace in today is not what God offers us. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 4 and down to verse 9. Says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Be not anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. People everywhere in our world today are searching for peace. They travel far, they go on pilgrimage to find it. They're even willing to wage war that they will have peace in their land. Many people, whether they're wealthy, poor, whatever it is, search all their life for a few moments of peace, that they might have peace with what's going on in their life. But everything, and so often what they find is that that peace is fleeting. The world's peace is short-lived. And it's different from what God offers us peace. If we look over into John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you in the world as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and be not afraid." These are the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples just prior to him being crucified. The peace offered in this world is empty. It's a promise that can only offer temporary comfort. God's peace is permanent and offered by the one who we can trust. His word is truthful and long-lasting. The world's peace is fleeting and changes constantly with the circumstances around us. During time of prosperity, nations are at peace. But when the economies struggle, countries find themselves at the brink of civil war or a war with another country near them. The peace of the world is a very precarious thing. Conflict erupts when people are hungry. When people are hungry. Peace disappears when circumstances turn ugly. The problem with the peace that the world gives, it ignores or is unable to see that the root of the problem is sin, and they can't deal with that. When asked what's wrong with the world today, many will point to the volatile markets, the corrupt governments, disappearing rainforests, poor diets, lack of health care, broken families, overcrowded schools. And how does the world deal with that? To try doing good. They feed the hungry, they build wells, they regulate markets, they conserve the wildlife, and therefore they do achieve somewhat peace, but it's fleeting. And so often it's a make-me-feel-good solution. The world of peace tries to fix the symptoms of sin, but they can't see the root of the problem. They can't deal with that. God's peace is permanent and firmly grounded in his word. He doesn't ignore our sin, but God heals our sin. From what we find in the world, God's peace is permanent and secure. God offers peace in the midst of chaos. Peace doesn't change because of our circumstances or the situations that we're in. And he offers his peace in spite of all circumstances. His word promises in Isaiah 54:10. It says, "For the mountain may depart and the hills be removed, and my steadfast love shall never depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." John 16, chapter 16, verse 33 says, "I have said these things to you, that in you you may have peace. In the world you will never have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God's peace is built on a secure foundation of God's word. Young and old, male or female, we've all experienced the pain of a broken promise, whether it be from a loved one, family member, co-worker. They've always broken their promise at one point or another, and we've experienced that pain. And despite our greatest intention, we have done the same to other people. Our word has not been kept, and we've broken hearts. We've disappointed people. But God's word, however, can be trusted. He never contradicts himself or acts in a way that is out of character. He will never disappoint us. Have you ever prayed for something or someone that it wasn't answered, or you thought that it wasn't answered? Did God disappoint, or was it my expectations that were different than what I expected God to answer or what I wanted? I met a few years back, probably 10 years ago now, if you remember, Glore Creek was just happening. I went up there with Western Equipment at the time doing sales. I'd go in there, started out as a little tiny camp, few companies were in there, and then it sort of almost turned into a boom city. It was crazy, the amount of money that they were spending to get people up there. Ran into a lot of people that were up there from Terrace, and they were telling me that what they the money that they were making was just insane for what they were doing. And so, hey, everybody wants a fortune. And so at the time, I remember and praying and asking God and saying that, hey, you know, should I be changing my career? Should I be going up there? And the answer came back, no. And at the time, I'm thinking, does God not want me to have a fortune? Does God not want me to do something? And the reality was that within 6 months of that, and like I say, it was an insane time. You go up there and there's 3-4 helicopters flying in the air at all times because the mine was on the other side of the mountain. They were building a 7-kilometer mile through the tunnel to get there. And so they had to fly all their equipment up. The Russians were there with an MI-26 capable of carrying 46,000 pounds payload. And so they were packing cats and loaders and everything up the mountain. And so you're looking at all this happening. 6 months later, boom, it's gone. They ran out of money. That was it. Everybody packed up and went home. All those guys that were up there that had quit their jobs now had to go find another job. I think God clearly sees what my future is. Sometimes we don't. And until after hindsight, it seems always very clear. Sorry, momentarily lost. God's peace that we have is because God has come and healed sin. Our relationship was broken with God, but because of what Jesus Christ had come and done, now we could have that relationship with him. At some point, we've all dealt with suffered, we've always had worry, we've always had anxiety, we probably always will, but there is a way to deal with that, there's a way to get through that. We can look at people throughout Scripture that had the same issues. Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, here's an interesting character. The Midianites had taken over Israel. They had they hadn't enslaved, but they were just running roughshod, we'll call it, over the Israelites. They were pushed off their land. Their crops were killed. Their cattle were killed. They had nothing. They were living in trees and caves. And an angel of the Lord said, came to Gideon and said that, hey, mighty soldier, or mighty warrior, he called him. I want you to lead my people out. Gideon's first response, he said, look at me. He said, I'm living in the trees. I'm threshing my wheat in a wine press because I can't do it out in the open. I'll get caught, either killed or taken from me anyways. And so after some discussion with the angel, Gideon decided to listen. He made an altar unto the Lord. And in Judges chapter 6, I think it's verse 24, he calls the place Jehovah Jireh. When he made his sacrifice with the Lord and followed what his instructions were, he found peace with God. Jehovah Shalom is what the wording is there, God of peace. And so as the story goes, just to carry on a little further, Gideon. Gideon, once before he went out, before he was going to go and attack the people, he asked God, he said, hey, I got a wool here, a fleece. I'm going to throw it on the ground. If you are truly God, and you're truly sending me out, I want you to make the fleece sopping wet in the morning and the ground dry around it. So sure enough, gets up in the morning, there was so much water in it, he could wring it out. Fine, that was great. Gideon goes, oh, sorry, one more thing. If you don't mind me asking, can you make the fleece dry and the ground wet? None of us are like that, correct? Is that a nervous laugh or... God asked us to do something, we should respond. I mean, Gideon ended up setting the people free and so forth, but I think so often we, as Christians, we tend to, God says, go talk to that person, go feed that person, go help that person, go lift that person up. Just go take the time to help him do what he's ever doing. And we always sometimes ask, ooh, is that God speaking to me, or is that just a thought? And I think as Christians, this is where we need to really respond. Jesus gives us peace, John 14, verse 27. He says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. He doesn't promise his disciples that their life is going to be peaceful. They're going to go live in Mexico, sit in a lawn chair and eat bonbons all their life. But he promises them that they will receive his peace, that they will be able to, whatever they're facing, whatever they're up against, God will give them peace. And ultimately, when we see Jesus face to face, we'll ultimately experience God's total peace. And so what is our response to this? It says, those who chose prayer and trust during times of anxiety will experience the peace of God. There's three important positive things here. First, God's peace is supernatural and unexplainable. It's truly amazing how God can respond to us in difficult times. Second, God's peace will guard our hearts. The hearts was seen as something to protect at all costs. Your heart passes, you pass. Thirdly, the peace will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. What I love about Scripture is that when we're going through a tough time, going through a dry spell, and when I'm actually reading and spending time in prayer and reading and spending our time in God's Word, is that God's Word is full of promises to us. He gives us direction, even in advice, and to deal with our adversities. When dealing with life's trials, there's an answer in Scripture. And these promises remind me myself that God is in control and working in our world. I remember when I was on the Charlotte's, I think I mentioned this before, that I spent a fair amount of time visiting people there, going around. Actually, our church was made up of every denomination, just about under the sun. So it was always an interesting service we had. But I remember one time talking with a group that didn't attend with us. And I remember going away incredibly discouraged, feeling down, feeling sort of left and lost. And I remember at the time just praying and saying, Lord, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And it was an incredible moment in my life where we used to, as kids, always remember scripture verses. It's something that's sort of lost in time, and it's sort of unfortunate. And I don't know if these are ones that I remember, but I remember God bringing to my recollection scripture verses, and I went through the Bible one after another as he gave me a verse and read it. And it just brought me back to the place that God is in control, God is real, God is my Savior. God's peace transcends all understanding, no matter what we're facing. And he will guard our hearts and minds. Some of you say, well, that's easy to say, and I know that. I just say, suck it up. I realize that, and I realize the fact that I'll probably go through some of the things that are never go through some of the things that you've gone through, some of the suffering, some of the pain, some of the loss. But I know that I serve a God that is able to deal with every one of these things. I know that we could take it to God and give it to him, and he will take care of it. I heard a saying just recently, and it said that a person that has been healed from something has prayed and asked God to heal them, and they've got healed, and they pray and give thanks to God. That's praise and worship and thanks. A person that is on their deathbed that is praying and thanking God for life, that's peace. And also, I think as we're suffering through these things, I think if we look at the author of the book of Philippians, Paul, here's a man that's in prison at the time of writing this letter and telling everybody to be encouraged. God's peace is with you. God will find you peace. He knows what it is to anxiety. He knows what it is to have pain and suffering. He knows what it is to be looking at the death penalty. He knows what it is to be looked at, to be whipped. However, you also remember God, Paul's words. He says, in every situation, I should come to him in prayer. Paul knew how to pray. He knew who his God was. He knew his relationship with God. Also, Peter said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's in 1 Peter 5:7. I serve a God who's big enough to take all the care of all the big problems in my life. But I also serve a God who cares enough for those little things in my life. He helps me to get through everything. The other is, he says, with thanksgiving. How often do we thank God for where we're at, who we are, what we have? And I think of the ten lepers that were healed. It says only one actually came back and thanked God for what he had done in their life. We need to be constant worship with God. We need to be constant communication with God. We need to be grateful for the things that we have, even the things sometimes we're suffering through. You know, God is with us. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Take whatever it is you have, take whatever anxiety you have, whatever pain, whatever disease, sickness, whatever it is, we can take it to God. Submit it to him. This is the peace that God gives that transcends all understanding. This is the peace that cannot be explained. While I cannot it cannot be explained, this peace is real. So are those that are in Christ Jesus. 2 weeks ago, watching the news before I came to church. Don't do it. not a good way to start your Monday morning. 2 weeks ago, there was an announcement on there that I think it was about the drag queens reading stories in the library. And there were some protesters out there. There was more protesters against the protesters. And I remember watching this and just struggling that morning with where our world is going. What's happening to our world? What's happening to people? Why are we in these massive disputes that are going on? And so, still mumbling, grumbling, ganders up. I go and hop in the car, come to church. And on my way to church, get off Crum, turn onto Highway 37, truck ahead of me. He turns right. I look to my left. There's a car coming around the corner from Kitimat, coming fairly fast, but I got lots of time. So I pull in behind this truck. This truck's doing 55. And the only thing that comes to mind, first of all, is Sammy Hagar thinks this thing, I can't drive 55. But I look in my mirror, and this guy isn't slowing down. So he comes roaring right up to my bumper, and so close that I couldn't even see his lights. And now, I should slam on my brakes. And then that's not the Christian thing to do first thing in the morning. I'm on my way to church. And so anyways, now I'm really, and this guy's doing 55. This guy's on my bumper. I get into church and feel like kicking somebody. I didn't kick anybody, did I? But you just, you're at that point. And I remember the song service had just started, so I was at the back. And it was right into the first song. Felt the presence of God. All my anxiety, all my frustration was gone. Peace that we do not understand. And it's amazing what God can do. For me, I find that, number one, I find that I've probably been doing church or Christian longer than most of you here, most of that you've been alive. I was born in the pew. And just for the record, you're in very comfortable pews. When I went to church, we had 1x8s, two of them nailed onto some uprights. After her year, the nails were all starting to pop up, so you had to be careful where you sat. But like I said, I was born in a pew, been a Christian all my life. Is every day tiptoeing through the tulips happy? No, it's not. I face things. I lose perspective. I lose focus. A lot of it has to do with the time probably I spend in God's Word, the time I spend on my knees, the time I spend praying. But God never promised that it would be peaceful on this earth. He never promised I'd have peace there. But God promised me that I could have His peace. And I can, and I know that, whatever I'm facing. There's nights that I'll be awake at 2 in the morning worrying about something, running through scenarios, trying to figure out how to solve this problem. And I know that I could just take it to God. It's gone. I could have my sleep. I could go to work. And so, let me encourage you this morning. Amidst all the chaos that we face in life, amidst all the chaos that we face in our world, God is still in control. And God can still see us through that day. God can still encourage us. I spend most of my time doing my devotions on my phone. You have the whole Bible on your phone. It's quicker to find a verse. I use the Bible app. If you don't have it, get it. It's great to have. But they also have it within that app, thousands of topical studies, Bible readings, whatever. You can get into it 1 day, 7 day, 1 year, whatever you want. And what they do is they usually have an author who's ever put it together, has a little bit of a blurb, a little bit of talk, and then some passages of scriptures, and just to get you into God's Word. And I did run into one of them, and I started it, never finished it. It was called The 7 P's of God's Peace. And what I found was that some of his thoughts are very notable, and so I'm going to mention those. But like I say, it was just too repetitive for me, and so I let it go. But I want to close with the 7 P's of peace from this guy. If the music team wants to come forward, they can. First of all, he says, pause. Find a place every day that is quiet, that you could recognize the stress that you're going through and be able to give it to God. Secondly, place. We need to thank God every day for where we are, who we are, where we are right now. knowing that God will provide a place for you. Person, center of your life is your relationship with Him. Your worth does not come from who you are or what you're doing or where you're at, but it's who you are in Jesus Christ. Find your identity in Him. Fourth, presence. Wait on the Spirit of God. Spend some time just dwelling on God's word, waiting on Him, waiting to hear His voice. Purpose. Remember that we all have a purpose. We're here to glorify God and for His enjoyment. Pleading. You are loved by God, and He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to know what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your life. He wants to hear it from you. He already knows what's happening, but just spend that time with Him. Praise. Sing a song. Play some music. Just spend some time worshiping God, spending time with God. And lastly, whatever you're doing, if you need peace, God wants to have a part of your life. God wants to be part of that. God can provide a peace for you no matter what you're facing. He could take your minds off the things that are going on around us. He could allow us to dwell in His presence. And there's so much there. There's so much for that. So as we part this morning, I just say that may God bless you. Just remember that God cares for us, God loves us, and God wants to be a part of our lives. And so this morning, even if you have a need, I'm going to ask the prayer ministry teams to come forward. There'll be people on the right and the left. If you want prayer this morning, if you're just struggling with something, or if you just need prayer for something else, by all means, spend some time. Come on up. They will pray with you, and they'll encourage you along the way. May God bless you. Let's all stand.